You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. You take a look at the fixtures across Europe this week, and there is one tie that certainly stands out, and that is Liverpool versus Manchester City at Anfield. 1 point separate them at the top of the table. Here's what Trent Alexander had to say in an interview ahead of the game. Looking back on this era, although City won more titles than us and have probably been more successful, our trophies will mean more to us and our fans because of the situations at both clubs financially. How both clubs have built their teams and the manner in which we've done it probably means more to our fans. Erling Haaland would respond saying, if he wants to say that, okay, I've been here 1 year and I won the treble. It was quite a nice feeling. I don't think he knows exactly this feeling. He can talk as much as he wants. Don't know why he does that, but I don't mind. Julianne's here, as is Luis. Oh, ooh. Strong words.
It's a stupid thing to say.
From Trent.
From Trent. Whether you think it's true or not, you don't say anything to wind up an opponent that's coming up very shortly. And you certainly don't want to poke the bear if it's Manchester City. I mean, it's going to be tough enough to play against them without just an extra little bit of incentive. I mean, it's just dumb. It's a dumb, dumb move, particularly just before you're going to play them.
I mean, there's two pots of cash here.
Yeah.
One I've just spent more than the other. You know, to give that some context, it's a bit like saying, it's a bit like the Leicester City player saying, well, you've won the league once in the last 30 years and we won it in 2016, but we didn't spend as much as you did and we were a much better story. Which it was a great story. But look, at the end of the day, you know, we can talk about Man City and their spending and their 115 charges and all that. And look, that's for the Premier League and the governing bodies to sort out. Both have spent, and let's not forget, Alisson was Virgil van Dijk was the most expensive defender in the world at the time, right? 75 million. Wouldn't get you an average midfielder now, but at the time it was the most expensive in the world. So they've both spent money.
Mm-hmm.
They are both great teams, and I don't know why he'd want to stoke this fire at this particular time. Because what both managers have done in different ways has been absolutely fantastic. There's no doubt that, you know, City have had the resources. Guardiola has coached the living daylights out of these players and they play great stuff. Klopp's has been a much more difficult scenario coming from where they came from. You know, but they've both done amazing jobs, but they've both spent money. You can't say one of them's a great story and one's not a great story.
Of course, with it being a big game, who has been tasked by doing the dreaded combined 11?
Well, it's got to be Jules.
No. It was given to Luis Garcia, who has looked at it and he's gone Edison in goal, Walker, Diaz, Van Dijk, Robertson, Rodri, De Bruyne, Foden, Salah, Haaland and Diaz. Not a bad team.
Well, Robertson's been out a long time.
Right.
I think you could argue about the manager as well, probably.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And no Bernardo Silva?
Jules, you didn't have to do it this time. You don't get the abuse online.
Yeah, that's true. Luis can get all the abuse, especially from, you know, City fans and Liverpool fans who are not happy. I'm a bit like Craig. I would always want a Bernardo Silva in my team, and that's it. So maybe I play Foden a bit higher up, and I put Bernardo in midfield and Luis Diaz, maybe. And again, if you want a left back that is maybe not as attacking as Robo, then you pick someone else, like Nathan Ake, for example, who's been decent this season. If you want a more attacking fullback, go with Robertson. But this is still a very, very, very good team. And I will take Pep as an assistant to Klopp as well on the bench.
Wow. Damn.
I never quite understand this, which is probably why I never, ever get asked.
Right.
Why does it matter?
I think it's just a talking point, something a little spice.
A big game at the weekend.
Yes, exactly.
Got lots to talk about.
Yeah.
My golf trip to Alabama, I mean, there's lots.
Yes, but I think this is standard, isn't it, from our
position? Oh, yeah, exactly.
Lazy. That's what he's going for.
Lazy.
Luis, justify Klopp over Pep.
Well, I think that in the moment that they are right now and knowing that Jürgen Klopp is leaving at the end of the season, I couldn't just pick Pep. I love Pep. I think that he's an amazing manager, probably one of the best managers, if not the best managers in the world right now. But I had to pick Klopp. I love his attitude towards the fans, towards the players. I love the way he approaches every single game with that intensity, energy that he puts on the field. And right now, he's recovering. What he's been doing in the past couple of 3 months with all the injuries and managing to keep the team at the top of the table, I think is something really remarkable. And that's why I wanted to have him as a first manager.
He was sat at home on the bat phone waiting to be asked to do this.
Oh, no, he wasn't up early enough. He just got out of bed, hasn't he?
You're right.
Luis, let's ask you this then. As a man who has been very much championing Darwin Nunez's cause over recent weeks, who are you picking first, him or Haaland?
But that's not fair. Come on. I think that I've been a massive supporter of Darwin Nunez since he arrived when he was receiving so much stick. I've been one of those that I thought that he needed to adapt. He needed to find his way. And right now, he's finally having that end product, scoring the goals, assisting, and being an important player for Liverpool. And, Haaland has been Haaland since he arrived to Manchester City and scoring 100 million goals every single season. Last year, this year is again, even though the numbers are not the same, but it's always a massive danger. So it's very difficult. Again, he's a very different style of player. Haaland is a center forward, number nine, the striker as the old fashioned style. And Darwin can play on the wide areas, can play as a number nine. So it's different style. So I'm not going to make you pick me one. I already done my 11 combined.
What a politician you are, Luis. I'll tell you what, mate. If you want to give up this and go into Parliament, you'd be splendid at it. You take a look at the record when Klopp and Pep have faced off. Is there any danger, Stevie, like we've seen in the past, of Pep overthinking things?
I don't think so. No, I don't see that happening. I think he'll do pretty much what they've been doing recently. I don't think there'll be much change to the team. I don't think he's going to throw a spanner in the works, let's say, that he's done previously in Champions Leagues and big games. I don't see that happening at all. I think he knows exactly his team. I know exactly what he's going to be about, what City are about. I don't think there's going to be any surprises whatsoever.
Let's take a look at then how ESPN Bet have the odds set for this crunch tie at the top of the Premier League table. Liverpool are 9-5, which makes them the underdogs at Anfield, taking on the defending champions. A draw, meanwhile, at 27-10. Stevie, you're on tomorrow, so we'll get your prediction then. That's exciting for us all. Craig, you're not. You've got another day off tomorrow.
How many of these halves is
it? I don't know what's going on.
Jet lag.
Jet lag, the 1 hour difference.
Jet lag. What you don't realise, there's a time change for Alabama.
Yes.
As you well know.
Yeah, in 1 hour.
Because you suckered me into that one.
Well, I didn't really suck you into it.
So, yeah. No, I'm off tomorrow. I've got to prepare for the big one.
Right, what's the score? What's going to happen in this game?
I think the Liverpool injuries, Konate in particular, the most recent one, I think that's going to take its toll against this City side. The one glimmer for Liverpool is City have been more open this year at the back. But I think Liverpool are going to try and go toe-to-toe. I just can't see them beating this City side. With the injuries they've got, with the way City are playing now, particularly Phil Foden, I'm going to go 2-1 City.
How fit does Salah have to play for you to play him?
We're getting to the do-or-die point of the season now, aren't we, really? If somebody's going to have to stop this train, somebody's going to have to stop City, possibly Arsenal as well. Liverpool have got a bit of leeway to play with, but
if he's fit, you play him.
60-70% fit, right. You play him.
You play him. You play him till you play him until you see he's tired.
Right.
And then you take him off.
Is that not then a detriment to the rest of the season if he then injures himself and that's it for the rest of the campaign?
Well, I would suggest that if I'm unsure about a player, but I've decided to play him. I'm not bringing him off the bench. I think that's the craziest idea.
Yeah, you've
ever.
Said this quite
because,
a lot.
Because you're coming off an injury, particularly a hamstring injury, and you're going to join a game that's going to go 100 miles an hour. So it doesn't matter how much you warm up on the side, you're still not going to be at it. And if you push yourself too early on particularly a hamstring, then you're asking for trouble. I think you start him, and then you see what you can get. If you see he's tired, you get him off. Because there's no point in keeping Salah on the bench and waiting till you're 2-0 down, right, and then you bring him on.
I'm trying to think. The Liverpool have... So that'll be City out the way. They've got... I think... Have they still got Arsenal to come at Anfield? I don't know. But what I'm saying is, they've got... That would be Man City. That would be Man City out the way, done and dusted.
Yeah.
So, you know, we saw them at Nottingham Forest last week. They got that sort of late Darwin Nunez winner. This is the game where you need your big guys, right? The other games coming up, possibly you're going to get away with it. You're unlikely to get away with it in this game.
Yeah, they played Liverpool twice, so that's so Liverpool and Arsenal. That's it. They're done.
Yeah, so they're done. So you're going full boner at this.
Yeah,
and then I'll figure it out after that.
Luis, how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I think I agree with the credit that Liverpool is going to try to play toe-to-toe to City, and there are two versions of that. Is that it works well, and in transition they can hurt very much, because right now with Luis Diaz, with Dan, with Hugo Pace up front, with Salah, that I think is also going to play 100%. So you got speed, you can use that on the space they're going to be behind the defence of Manchester City. And if you put a little team together, you are very disciplined. If you have no many mistakes, I'm very worried about Konate not being involved, because I think that him with Van Dijk can give you that extra at the back. I think that we are going to be in problems on those moments where they are so good with possession and transition. So I will go for a draw on this one and try to keep it this way, make the battle until the end. But it's going to be difficult to hold it.
Couldn't quite coax him into it.
No, I thought it was...
I thought it was coming down to a City win.
I thought it was going to go for the City.
We might see it.
Towards a City win.
Couldn't quite coax him into the City win there.
Jules?
Can't do it.
I think Salah will start, 100%. And I think they will counter each other, really, like in the first leg. I see a draw. And in the end... If you're Klopp, I know you are home, but you will still be ahead of City. City will play Arsenal in 2 weeks' time, as we said. I'm not sure even a draw is a bad result for Liverpool. Of course, if you can win, you go and win it. But I think it could be quite a tight game. So, I go for a 1-1 draw.
Good result for Arsenal. I imagine they would definitely take a draw in that game on Sunday. Just a reminder then, be sure to join us tomorrow. Big show. Stevie Nicol gives us his prediction as to what's going to happen in the game at Anfield. Oof. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Right then, five games for you on Saturday in the Premier League. The earliest game sees Manchester United play host to Everton. This will be Ten Hag's 101st game in charge, something that was referenced in his pre-match press conference.
Do you feel your team's under or over performed this season, considering everything you've been faced?
No team can't deal with this with so many injuries.
One of the players obviously been missing is Rasmus Højlund, who's just been named Premier League Player of the Month. How frustrating is it that he's been out when he was finding great form, and how much have you missed him?
Yeah, but a lot, but I have to do it, and we have to do it with the players who are available. And so I will never complain about that. And so we work through this game with the players who are available, and we have to get the best out of it. And that is our aim.
You won 61 of your first 100 matches at Manchester United. And I know you don't want to use the injuries as an excuse, but to what extent have they derailed what was a pretty positive trajectory?
It tells that we are in the right direction. Because, so imagine we had many more players available and that we had not so many setbacks in injuries. It could have been easily 70 or 75 wins, and that tells had a bright future of this team when players are available.
He just keeps giving us absolute layups when he keeps talking about the right direction.
I'm absolutely... This guy needs to see a shrink. You know, what direction is he seeing? I mean, how many times have we sat here and talked about Manchester United? And he's talking about injuries. Every team's had injuries. Look at Liverpool. They're a much better side with a much better manager, but they've coped. Look at Tottenham. Tottenham had... Sarr was out, Basuma was out, Son was away, the whole back line was out. There was four fullbacks playing across the back line. Four fullbacks. Lost Harry Kane in the summer. Postecoglou goes in. They play great football. They're going for the top four, yeah, and have a realistic chance of getting it because they have a purpose. They have a manager who understands what he wants, and they understand what he's all about. This guy, do you need... And by the way, Anthony's not been injured, but he's been hopeless, and he sanctioned it, right? He's not been injured long term. Bournemouth, Fulham, there's been others. You know, Nottingham Forest... Do you need a fully fit squad to beat and outplay these teams? No, you do not. And so there is no excuse for the type of football they've played, for the results they've got, and the way they approached that game last week. I know you guys were doing it. I wasn't here. They got battered. They were outplayed by Fulham the week before. They were outplayed by Luton in victory. I mean, come on. Any of us are looking at this. Ratcliffe, Brailsford, whoever the damn it is, they're clever people, they're business people, they're looking and listening to this and going, this guy does not know what he's doing.
The only thing he can be doing is try to convince them.
Well, he's unconvincing by this rhetoric.
I mean, Man City had no Haaland or De Bruyne for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's not always about just because you're losing. It's about how you lose.
Yeah.
And they've been unbelievably bad. When they've won, they've been bad. And when they've lost, they've been bad. So basically all season, they've been bad regardless. So who's supposed to believe any of this when you're unwatchable? Because when we're putting it on, and I can't wait to put it on, because they're so bad that you're just waiting. You're waiting for a calamity.
Well, anti-Manchester United, Stevie.
But I don't think I'm alone. I think most people... are putting on Manchester United thinking, wow, who are they playing today? Are they going to be rubbish again? Are they going to get beat? Because that's all they've been serving up.
When I'm watching
unwatchable football,
when
right?
I'm watching Man United, this current version, taking a Diego Dalot special goal at Sheffield United to win, taking a Bruno Fernandes sublime volley at Burnley to win, against the run of play. When I'm watching this, I'm sitting baffled. How... Even with injuries, how can this manager take this football club to play against what is effectively cannon fodder in the Premier League,
yep,
down the bottom,
yep,
and be outplayed? Everybody can get beat. Defeat happens. But if they had gone and you said, look at United, they've played some great stuff there.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've been undone at the back and they're making, yep, mistakes. But, my God, they're playing some good stuff. I could accept that. Because you can remedy that. You can't remedy this manager anyway. Been outplayed by most of the teams in the bottom half of the Premier League as they have been. That's unacceptable.
It's why, Jules, this right direction narrative is such a head scratcher.
But that one, I think, is pure desperation from him to start with. But you have to see in the way that every press conference, every time he speaks, for him, he knows he's under pressure. He knows right now he's more likely to get sacked in the summer than to keep his job. So I think every time he sees a microphone, he thinks, I need to say something that's going to convince Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Dave Bradford, Jean-Claude Blanc, the Glazers, their mum and dad, anybody, that I'm actually doing a good job. So he lies. He lies to himself. He lies to everybody. I mean, what got me today, I think the best line of all, is like, if I had a fully fit squad, I would have won 75 of my 100 games. Easy. Where is that coming from? What about 100 out of 100? It's just mad. And I think he thinks that he's helping himself, but actually it's the other way around. If you're Sir Jim Ratcliffe and watching this like us, or reading the quotes or whatever, you're not happy. You can't be happy. This, because this is not the reality, like the boys have explained. And trust me, Ratcliffe, Brailsford, or everyone can see it. It looks like the only one that can't see it or doesn't want to see it is Ten Hag.
Jules, how can he be deluded enough to think that this will work?
But I guess he really wants to keep his job, which I can understand in a way. But the best way of doing that is that for that team to improve, this team to play better, to win more games, whether it's injuries or not. He said like, I don't want to complain here. But every time he talks about all those injuries all the time, and he's complaining and he's whinging. So the best thing he would have to do is just shush and then focus on the pitch and try to improve this team between now and the end of the season. And that will be the only thing that could keep him in the job, is that all the things he says, that's actually doing him more disservice than anything else.
The only thing, one of the things, when we talked about this, but one of the things that might keep him in, and I don't think it will, but, you know, I'll throw him some sort of olive branch of an opportunity, is that if there's nobody glaring out there that they can get, are they going to be stuck with this guy? I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't imagine, even if it's costing them a fortune to get rid of, they're going to do it. Because why would you spend, you know, $1.25 billion plus on a football club to invest in it and then spend on infrastructure and then bring in directors of football if you're not, you know, if it's 10 to 15 million to get rid of another manager, it's pocket change for Sir Jim Ratcliffe with a long-term vision. So the only thing saving them to me would be that they just can't find anybody to come in and do this job, but even that is a stretch.
There's nothing saving this guy.
But what's interesting is, like, we talked about Barcelona and the injuries that they have. You look at Gavi and Pedri and De Jong, you know, proper players. And you look at the injury list of Manchester United, Rasmus Højlund's been good, yeah, he's been fine. But it just doesn't resonate that if you have all these players back fit, that you're going to see anything really different than we have this season from Manchester United.
Well, it's because of the way he's setting them up. You know, there's no... We can talk about how much of the blame lies on the players and how much of the coach. Yes, you can blame players who make mistakes or pick the wrong options or don't perform. Yes. But at the end of the day, listen, we're talking about Barcelona. As bad as they've been, they're trying to play football and it's not working. Now, you can sort of accept that. I mean, look at Liverpool. We're a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Look how they're set up. They're trying to go forward. They're trying to play football. They're basically saying, we're Barcelona. This is how we play in the front foot. We're Liverpool. We play in the front foot. Tottenham, we play on the front foot. Ten Hag saying, regardless of who's playing, we're going to keep it tight and then try and break. I mean, that is 100% not the Man United way of playing.
Even against Fulham, a scoop ball over the top for Marcus Rashford was their out ball. That's kind of where they were, you know, and certainly in the City game, it was slim pickings. Look, Shaw's been a bit of a miss for them. Maybe Martinez at the back, to a certain extent, on the left-hand side. But we're also talking about a manager who, during this season, has decided that, you know, a 36-year-old who was only training with the club in the summer was a better option than a World Cup winner who's won everything in the game in Rafael Varane. Mm. So there's decisions that have been made in terms of the playing squad as well that have been head-scratching, you know, playing full-backs out of position and whatnot. It's not a perfect science. It's not an easy job. We know that. But there is no doubt that he is—he's met some headwinds here, big time, and he's struggling. I'm with Stevie. I don't see him lasting past the summer.
No, it's dead man.
There's no culture. There's no culture at Man United.
No,
none.
It's going to be a big couple of seasons, you feel, of overhaul there. Jules, what are you doing this weekend? Where are you going? You going to go to Anfield? Pop up there?
No, I'm not. I'm not actually going. I'm doing one of the Serie A games tomorrow for the website, and then Sunday I'll just be watching the game.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. Gab won't go. He doesn't go north of Watford, does he?
No.
Well, not that he doesn't
never outside of Greater London.
It's not he doesn't go, he's not allowed.
No, that's very true. Thank you very much, Jules. Just a reminder, you can catch up with the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast, which is available now to download. Craig Burley will be on the call for Manchester United against Liverpool next week. What a way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. That's the late game on ESPN+. Before that is Chelsea-Leicester. And on Saturday, Wolves against Coventry and Manchester City against Newcastle.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Friday night action in La Liga. We'll see Barcelona take on Mallorca. In the end, a brilliant goal from Lamine Yamal will prove to be the difference between the two sides. Quite stunning, Stevie.
Absolutely incredible. What, 16-year-old? Amazing.
16. I know, it's quite incredible. Big challenge on him at the end, Craig, but he looked OK.
Yeah, he looked fine. It was actually a good challenge in the end, but he walked off the pitch at the end and looked OK.
So 3 points to Barcelona, which means you can very much put up the argument they are still in a title race. 5 points adrift of Real Madrid, who are in action on Sunday. Let's welcome in Xavi. Luis Garcia is with us. Lamine Yamal's the story, isn't he, Luis?
It is, and how crazy. I heard just Steve asking about how old is he, and it's really incredible that at 16 years old he's carrying on the Barcelona at this stage. He's been doing it for quite a long period, but right now you could see on the field that everyone on the pitch is trying to bring him balls, good balls, and try to allow them create the space and isolate him on the right side to make him go on 1v1 situation. The goal is just another one that shows us how talented he is, how precise he is in every single moment when he's near the box. And again, 3 points for Barcelona, very important 3 points. I think today they deserve it because they were the ones who maybe proposed a little bit more during the game, even though that is not a fantastic game from Barcelona. But the kid is just amazing. Just to see him move all around, just to see him wait for the moment to open the space, divide defenders into the box and put the ball right there, top corner. No chance for the keeper to arrive or even make the move. So fantastic performance from Lamine Yamal, that definitely, and Craig mentioned that he was a good challenge, that one on the midfield to catch the ball. But it was very scary because he could have hurt Lamine Yamal for a long period.
What happens with these kids these days? I mean, I know times have changed, but, you know, I think back, don't know about you, but I think back to when I was 16. I was literally just left home to go to London to Chelsea. Would not have said boo to a goose.
Right.
You know, and it's not the talent level, because this guy's, you know, super talented. It's the physicality of going into a men's game. That's the big... When you come through in the youth teams and you go into what we call the resis or the reserves, mm-hmm. before you make the progression, you're going from playing against under 16 and 17 and 18 guys your own age, you go into the reserves and there's some hardened pros in there that are either coming back from injury or they're dropped and out the team. And you look at them and go, my God, look at the strength and the, you know, the power of these guys, and that's what I need to be. And so when you see these youngsters going straight in to the elite level now, not only handling the pressure, but it's the physicality aspect of it that they're going in with. And you know, you saw the Mallorca team, they're big guys, they're big strong guys, so the ability to go in there and handle yourself as a 16-year-old and perform, I mean, it's quite scary what lies ahead for this guy. I mean, the world is his oyster if he remains injury-free, lucky, and keeps his head down. There's a long way to go, but boy, what a future he has.
We've seen Xavi blooding quite a few youngsters, Stevie, like Mark Hughes starting. But what has been so impressive about Lamine Yamal is that it's not just been a one-game wonder. It's not just scoring a winner late on. It's the consistency of it. And you could argue he has been Barcelona's best player this season.
Yeah, I mean, Luis is talking about how they were set to get him the ball on a 1v1 situation, which makes complete sense. And I think as far as the being able to play so many youngsters, a lot of that has got to do with the way the game's refereed today.
Okay.
Because they're not stepping on the field and they're not worried about somebody kicking them or bullying them physically. They can actually play their game. And the fact that they've got the pace and somewhat more strength settling than we had when we were 16 means that they play with the freedom. They're not looking over the shoulder waiting for somebody kicking them. They're actually just concentrating on doing all the things that they want to do as far as technique and ability is concerned. And they don't have to think about somebody trying to hurt them.
So an interview recently, or an after-match interview, or an interview that he gave, Rafinha.
Well, which was it?
Well, my memory's a bit busy. So I'm just trying to cover my bases here. It was an interview, all right?
Did it well.
Let me get to the point where he was asked about recently been left out when Lamine Yamal has played. And he was very, shall we say, upbeat about it. He said, oh, it's great to see the kid. But is he really?
Yeah.
You know, when you see this kid coming through, all right, he's had his injury problems, Rafinha, been in and out, been suspended as well. But he's watching this kid playing on the right, coming in on his left foot, doing things that Rafinha knows he can be doing and should be doing. And I would just wonder if he's now thinking to himself, actually, maybe it doesn't look quite so good, this youngster coming in and doing this, because at this moment in time, if you had the choice between the two in that position,
you'd
go for the youngster, wouldn't you?
Most definitely.
Over Rafinha.
And it's not even a debate. I think it was interesting, obviously, Xavi, thinking about Tuesday's clash against Napoli, meaning that he made a number of changes to the starting 11. Lewandowski on the bench, Mark Hughes standing up front. Also in action on Friday will be Tuesday's opponents, Napoli. They were taking on Torino. We'll take this into the second half. Chelier with a goal to make it 1-0.
See, that's a great finish. I mean, he's actually past the front post when he hits this, so he has to get the connection perfect, and he does.
3 minutes later, though, Torino would get the equaliser. Sanabria here, who just come on as a sub.
Yeah, he comes back to I'm sorry. I'm never going to understand why that's not a free kick when a defender's putting his head in there.
Napoli 1, Torino 1 then is how it finishes. Napoli, of course, will not win the title this year. They are miles off into a pretty much home and host at the top of the table. For them, it is all about the Champions League. 1-1, of course, going into the second leg at Montjuïc. Luis is still with us. I want to start with you, Jules. Jules, just give us some insight into Napoli over recent weeks going into this tie.
That's the thing, Dan, because until tonight, they've been really good. The last two games in the league they won, including against Juventus last Sunday. And there was that momentum building. And Torino are not an easy team to play against. They're very intense. They run a lot. They press a lot. It's a bit chaotic the way they play, but it must be annoying to play against them. And it was the case tonight because Napoli had a lot of the ball. They had the best chances. Really, they could have won this game. They conceded two shots on target. One is the goal that we've just seen on a set piece, on a second phase of a set piece. But they could not really get the control on the game because Torino is just always there. They contest everything. They're there, which should be a very different game, obviously, against Barcelona. But I guess they wanted to continue that momentum to win again, make it 3 wins in a row in the league that would have looked better to try to finish top four, top five to qualify for the Champions League next season if that fifth place takes you there. But they're still unbeaten under Calzona, the new manager, of course. So the momentum is still there, but it's just slightly disappointing after the good performance we saw against Juventus a week ago.
Of course, the big talking point for Barcelona going into that second leg is the players who aren't available. We saw Araujo suspended today. He will be back involved. However, the rest, big question marks if any of them are going to be available. Rafinha, of course, subbed off. We'll wait news on him. Stevie, given this list, this is a really tricky game to call, isn't it?
I think if you're Napoli, you cannot be anything other than upbeat about going in to play against Barcelona.
Yes.
And if you're sitting watching, never mind recently, but for the majority of the season, if you're sitting doing video with the players, you go in thinking, well, this is Barcelona away. And by the time you finish watching it, you're going, hold on a second.
Yeah.
What have we got to be scared about? You know, other than the reputation of the players with the names on the back of the jersey, you are away from home, but it's not the same.
And it's not the Camp Nou.
No, it's not the Camp Nou. So if you're Napoli, the basics you're talking about are don't make any mistakes. If we don't make any mistakes, we absolutely have got the players and the talent to go to Barcelona and actually outplay this team and win this game. So for me, if I'm Napoli's coach, I am 100% bashing into them how much that they can win this game and win comfortably if we do what we're good at. 100%.
The problem with that is that Napoli are nowhere near the team that they were either.
But they've still got Osimhen up front and Kvaratskhelia to get up and support, and they've still got good players, they just haven't played particularly well. Look, Barcelona probably had one of the better performances of the season, which is... It was not a high bar, as you know, in Naples. They actually played OK over there by their standards. I don't think Napoli played well at all. But then you look at Napoli going into this game away from home, this Barcelona back line, even when it's been at full strength, has been awful. Mm. And it's not at full strength at the moment. Koundé's had a poor season. You know, Cancelo's going to probably have to play left back, can't defend. Got youngsters at centre back. And you've got Christensen, you know, centre half, patrolling in the midfield in front. Without Pedri, without Gavi in there, without De Jong, so that leaves sort of Gundogan. Come on, I mean, you're never going to get, you know, unless Barcelona's financial troubles continue and they continue to decline as they have this season, you're probably not going to get a better opportunity. To go in here, as you said, it's the Montjuïc, it's not the Camp Nou, it's a pretty poor side, they're disjointed, they can't boss teams like they used to, and they've been terrible defensively. If that doesn't give you a G up for Napoli to go there and believe you can do it, I don't know what will.
Let's take a look at how the odds have things set for ESPN. This is to go through, obviously, to the quarterfinals. Barcelona, big favourites, 5-2-1. Napoli coming in at 7-10. You're going to more than double your money if you back the Italian side. Luis, are we being harsh on Barca?
I think that at the moment, yeah, he's favourite. It's true that he's not the Camp Nou. I understand the guys and the concern about not being created, the atmosphere that Barcelona will need to go against a Napoli. That it's true that it's not the Napoli that we saw last year, but it's going to be a better Napoli than in the first leg. I think Calzona has had the time of working with the team to put it all together, to understand what he wants from the players from now to the future. And you see the change in the last three games. It's true that today they have drawn. But two games won in the last 2 weeks. So that means that they're going to arrive with a better feeling on the field, and they're going to put up a big, big difficulties for Barcelona. But I still think that if Barcelona finds their way of play like they did, with that intensity, with that flow, with that idea of trying to hurt Napoli, they will have the chance. But it's not going to be easy. Again, this Napoli is not the one before, but it's not the one from 2 months ago.
Jules, it was a pretty boring week in the Champions League. You take a look at this tie. Indeed, Arsenal playing, of course, Porto on the same day as well. It's really interesting, isn't it? Really tough to kind of define who is going to be the team they're going to go through.
Yeah, massively. I mean, Luis said it a little bit, but this is a better Napoli side than 3 weeks ago. There's no doubt. Remember the first leg? The new manager just had 1 day training the day before, and that was it. And yes, his ideas are the ones of Spalletti's because he was Spalletti's assistant. But still, it was 1 day. 3 weeks down the line, they beat Juventus. We've said that. They smashed Sassuolo. And they're a much better team. Are Barcelona a better team than they were 3 weeks ago? They're not, because in between they lost Pedri and De Jong to start with. Plus, as we mentioned, the list of people out already. So I think it was 50-50 before the first leg. The 1-1 draw in the first leg, no away goals anymore, is still very much 50-50 for me, even if Barcelona, obviously, being at home, the second leg should be an advantage. Although I'm not sure at Montjuic that we can call it an advantage for them, and we've seen that this season at times. So it's a great game. It's 50-50. I would go for Napoli, personally. Mm. I think Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen and Politano on the counter could destroy this Barca team. I mean, Kvaratskhelia against Jules Koundé has to be the matchup of the night, really. And if Koundé can't stop Kvaratskhelia, in the game, I think this could be Napoli to win.
It's going to be really interesting. A lot more on the course on that game as we continue our build-up on Tuesday.
Words are hard to say.
Jude Bellingham, meanwhile, will be suspended for two games. We, of course, saw him sent off at that frantic end of the game at Mestalla for swearing at the referee. Real Madrid appealed that two-game ban. That appeal has been rejected. He will be missing, then, Real Madrid's next two matches. Meanwhile, Barcelona earlier today beat Mallorca by 1-0 after the game. Gemma caught up with Xavi.
Yes, Xavi, it was very important to win the 3 points today. You managed to do so, but are you convinced with this win?
Yes, I think it's well-deserved. We play sometimes, not all the game, of course, but we had patience, we had calm to attack well. We create more chances than usual against Mallorca. Normally, they don't concede too much chances for the opponent. So, yes, I'm satisfied. Of course, not brilliant, but I'm satisfied because the team deserved the victory today.
Lamine Yamal played yet another amazing game. It's kind of crazy that Barcelona relies so much on two teenagers, one in the front line, Lamine Yamal, and now Pau Cubarsí in the back.
Yes, I think... Because we are brave also to put them on the pitch, but they deserve to play. Pau Cubarsí did an amazing game. Lamine made the difference today. Marc Guiu played so well for the team. Very good. I'm really happy with this generation. We have a very, very, very good generation and very strong. I think they can make the difference many years in the club.
You announced you were leaving at the end of the season to release somehow the team. Do you think it's working now that there are so quite a lot of match days
being
played?
Yes, it's working, totally working, because I think we did 17 points up to 21, I think,
yeah.
And we draw in Napoli, so yes, I think it's a good decision.
And just the last one, talking about Napoli, we just seen Rafinha walking, he seemed like normal. You think he's going to be available, and do you think the team is strong enough to go to the quarterfinals?
Yes, everybody will be available today because no injuries. And then, yes, I think we have the capacity to qualify to quarterfinals, but we have Napoli in front, so let's see.
Thank you, Xavi.
Thank Felicidades.
You.
So, makes that game for Real Madrid against Celta Vigo a little more interesting on Sunday, doesn't it? You can catch that live on ESPN Plus at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And that's it then. That brings us to the end of
today's show. If United hadn't had all those injuries, Man United...
Yes.
I reckon they could have been
different
a quadruple.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, Champions League.
75 wins. 75, no problem. 85, not even...
95, 105 out of 100. Oh, the world's your oyster.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig and Stevie answering your questions today. A lot about Sunday's match.
What would we have done this year without Ten Hag? Well, we'd have done what we normally do. We'd have just hit the old...
Ten Hag has just been giving us gifts. We'd have hit the waffle centre, most definitely.
The old waffle button.
Yeah, wow. Well. Yeah.
He's been a card this
Would have won 75 games out of 100 if it wasn't for the injuries.
No.
Big picture, right direction.
Got to go forward to win again.
There you are. That's Stevie's insight. Is that a new tie, Stephen? I feel like I haven't seen that before.
No. Not new, no. It's a long time since I wore it, though.
Oh, why? You still what is it back in rotation?
I actually didn't realise it's a Rangers tie.
Oh, really?
Aye.
Ah.
I didn't realise until I took it out of the cupboard.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Who got that for?
My brother-in-law.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Big Rangers.
And how are Rangers doing this season?
Tell you what, I think they're still the top of the league, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
Good.
Well, you were too busy.
You're the Rangers fan.
Had a great result during the week. 2-2 away at Benfica.
Very good.
Aye, flying.
He often does that. He goes in his cupboard. He's to
have a little
spruce up.
His rummage around. See what's going on. Yeah, well, Rangers are 2 ahead of Celtic, I'm being told. In the Scottish Premier League.
Top of the league. Enjoy the black, suit with
the green. The green.
The black suit with the black shirt and the green tie. That's doing it for me.
That's classic.
Oh, do you want me to wear it the next time?
No.
Definitely.
That's a classic.
Okay, right. From an Arsenal.
What would Mariner have said?
He would have absolutely
loved it.
Hey. He would have said, "You look $1 million."
Yeah, he would.
Then he would have laughed, wouldn't he?
From an Arsenal perspective, what would the dream Liverpool City result be?
From the Arsenal perspective?
Yes.
Oh,
so they're 2 points behind Liverpool, obviously 1 point off City at the moment.
Well, it's definitely not a Man City win.
Okay.
Because they're more likely to steam on than Liverpool because of the injuries.
So would you take a Liverpool win?
I'd take a Liverpool. Even though Liverpool are above.
Yes.
Even though they're top.
If somebody's the only winner, is the scenario, right?
No. You could take a draw.
I'd take a draw.
You take the draw then.
Yeah.
But if somebody was going to win it, even though they're the best position at the moment, I'd say Liverpool, because there's more...
They're more likely to.
More likely for them to falter out of the two teams.
Stevie, how should Liverpool set up against City on Sunday?
Listen, Liverpool play the way they do.
Right.
They're not going to be at Anfield and sit back. They ain't going to do a Man United and try and sit in the top of the box and break. They're going to go and try and close them down, win the ball high up the field and try and put the ball in the back of the net. And if they don't, then if they cough the ball up too much, they could find themselves in a bit of trouble on the defensive side of the game.
I'm smiling because I've just seen the next question. Craig.
Oh, God, what is it? What have I done now?
I got.
Who is your best friend in football?
Why are you laughing at that?
Well, do you have any friends in football?
You don't have any friends in football.
What do you mean? Your best man lives 2 hours away and he's been here for 6 years and you haven't seen him.
No. Busy. We're both busy. I've seen how many shows I do a week. Never ending here. Hitchy, and a bunch of the guys from Celtic that I'm still in touch with.
Right.
Yeah. You always find that funny.
Just you having friends is quite funny.
Well, shall we go round everybody and see who's got the most friends?
Stevie's got a lot of friends. He calls up a lot of people. Yeah, Stevie.
Oh, tons.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about the old days. Who will win the league title first? Chelsea, Manchester United or Spurs?
Man United.
Yeah.
Chelsea's... I mean, Chelsea's... My goodness. When are they going to get out of what they're in?
Mm.
Spurs ain't.
Right.
Spurs ain't going to put enough money in it to win it. So it'd have to be Man United, you know what you think? I know Man United's still got a lot to do, but they're ahead of Chelsea, which is saying something. Man United. It's got to be Man United.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Can I phone a friend?
We weren't the end of the show today.
What does Stevie think of Cody Gakpo's performance? He seems to be struggling. What would be his best position?
I think he does a good job coming off the bench when you need a little freshen up or change of face or somebody needs a rest. Yeah, I don't think he's just... If everybody's 100% fit, I don't think he's in your starting 11.
Right. Has he got what it takes to make that step up from what you've seen?
I don't think so.
He's a good
player.
He's a squad player, basically.
He's got, yeah, but he's a top of the Premier League squad player. He's a guy that can come on and do something.
He's got an agenda against Dutch players, hasn't he, Liverpool?
Stevie, a couple of days ago, you mentioned you and your wife would start a sitting exercise regime. How is it going?
Just you, this must be you.
I haven't.
You doing this?
Oh, is that the kind of things you've been doing, Stevie?
In tandem?
Well, I did.
Synchronised?
I did ask yesterday.
Right.
I said, when are we doing these exercises?
Okay.
And I was told that, you know what? Walking a dog and going swimming is enough.
Oh, I see. So it's been kiboshed, that's it.
It's been kiboshed.
But you don't swim in the pool, do you?
Yeah.
You walk in the pool?
I walk in the pool.
So it's not swimming?
She swam.
Right. You walk.
I walk.
I bet you look all right. Pool.
Do you think I'll bother?
He can't see. There he has got glasses.
Do think I'll bother?
Do you wear your glasses in the pool?
Aye, of course I do.
Because you don't go underwater.
What, goggles?
I don't go underwater.
He wears goggles in the water.
Oh,
where
are these?
I'd imagine the police have been called to that pool with him walking up
there. Fede Valverde says his son idolises Vinicius Jr. When you played, did your kids idolise your teammates instead of you? Did that hurt just a little bit? Your Michael was a Manchester United fan, yeah?
Aye, early on, aye. Or his brain grew.
Was that to spite you?
No, it was. At the time, it was all the young United players.
It was Beckham, Giggs, and Scholes.
It was all the young guys.
Right.
And it was the fad, wasn't it? But then he saw some sense and eventually started supporting Liverpool.
When you took him to Old Trafford as a fan, did you not think that it was going to be a tricky situation?
Well, I knew that there may be a couple of hooligans that would not take kindly to me being there, but I didn't quite anticipate how bad it would be.
How bad did it get?
Oh, well, people banging on the window.
Of the car?
Of the car.
Really?
Aye, banging on the window of the car. And to begin with, I didn't... Listen, this is... I mean, this wasn't the first interaction of the evening. This was one of the last interactions, but it was a steady progress of being sworn at, called names.
Right. That was just Michael.
as he was a Man United fan. But then I sat in the car park, and this guy just come up and, like, jumped on the window.
Right.
And initially, he looked
normal.
Like a normal person. So I put the window down and he gave me the biggest mouthful of swear words that you've ever seen.
Well, you weren't wearing that green tie, were you?
Oh, seriously.
You shouldn't have worn your Liverpool kit.
Honestly, that would have topped it all off.
That would have been it. Yeah. Did you only go there once? Was that it?
No, I went twice.
Did you?
Schoolboy era.
First one was Leeds.
Yes.
And as I'm standing where you pick your tickets up at Old Trafford, and the next minute it was like, I thought it was a remake of Braveheart. So you know when they fire all the arrows?
Yes.
It was bottles.
At you?
It was against Leeds, not at me.
Right.
It was Leeds United against Man United.
Okay.
One of the fiercest rivalries in football. And there was just a sea of bottles coming over. And I had to grab the wee man and get in the office out the road. Mental.
But you still went back for more?
I went back to the Man United Man City FA Cup game.
Wow.
Yes. Man United beat them. City weren't quite the team they are now. But it's just the usual, getting abused.
Right.
Which is why I only went twice.
Okay.
You could have went undercover.
There you go.
Down the joke shop, buy a silly nose and glasses. Yeah.
Just.
Aye, that would have been a great idea.
What about you? Did your kids support?
No, they were.
Did they support Chelsea at all?
No, they were too young.
Right.
Luke was only probably one and a half when I left there.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, they were... he was at the... Yeah, he was the only one when I was at Celtic when we were in 97, 98. So he was down on the pitch for all the celebrations.
Yes.
But he won't remember that.
I see.
Because I think he was... What would he be? No, he wasn't quite two. He was just... He was about 20 months.
And did he have allegiance to any club then as he grew up? No.
Don't care.
No.
A bit like me, really.
Well, yes, that's true.
If you ask him, he'll say...
Has he got any friends?
If you ask him, he'll say, I couldn't give a stuff.
Right.
Just runs in the
family. Yeah, just that's it. Yeah, that's the family motto.
He goes to Forest every week with a wee boy.
Yeah, he goes to Nottingham Forest. Yeah, that's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Well, we lived in Nottingham.
So did he go there before he had the wee guy or after he had the wee guy?
No, after.
After.
The little fella's a huge... He's a huge football fan.
Yeah.
Just loves it, but he obviously, as you know, he goes to Forest.
Yes.
Every second week.
He loves Jack Grealish as well. Is it Jack Grealish?
Yeah, he's got the Alice band as well. He loves.
You let him wear that.
Man City and Forest.
He's just impressed he has hair.
Yeah.
For Stevie, from a coaching perspective, how do you navigate an injury crisis at your club? Do you get involved with the medical staff?
Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah, you got to know. I mean, more than anything, you got to know who's close and how soon they're going to be back.
Right.
You're constant. I mean, obviously.
Have you ever gone against medical advice?
No.
From, like, no. Choosing players if a.
No.
No.
No, I would, and I would, and the reason I'm saying no is from being a player, I can't imagine somebody putting me in a position where I could actually A, make the injury worse, mm-hmm. or actually have some permanent damage.
Right.
So I would never have done it in a million years.
Sometimes you'll take an injection and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Those things you have to do, particularly if it's a big game. You know, if you're playing it. You're playing a cup final and you've got a badly swollen knee, you'll do anything to play, you know, get the syringe in and take the fluid out. You know, it's. Right. I know it sounds horrible, but listen.
But it's still your decision, though.
It's your decision.
Right. It's your decision. Yeah. You can turn around and say, I'm not taking that.
But you know, you wouldn't. I mean, most of us, in a scenario like that, you just don't want to miss it, right?
So right.
If it can be done to play, you do it. But every manager's different. I used to love the reaction to some of them when some physios, obviously they're frightened, but. Particularly back then, frightened of some of the characters' managers.
Sure.
And they have to go to the manager with the bad news.
Yeah.
And let's just say some managers take it better than others. And some of the reactions I used
what
to.
What have
get.
You seen?
Well, Jim Smith was a character, you know, when Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, like you'd have thought. I mean, it was Pete. What was it? Pete Melvin was the. The physio to Derby, and when he told Jim a player wasn't available, you'd have thought he told him he had 15 first-team players out. He almost gave the physio a rollicking.
Shooting the messenger, basically.
Get back in there!
And make him better.
Yeah, I mean, because it is so frustrating.
Yeah.
But you won't make a player play. But the thing is, there's too many players over the years will take advantage of it, and you, as a player, you look at them and go, do you know what? I think he could have played the day.
Because you said that during the struggles at Derby, a lot of the players suddenly, you know, had little strains or things.
Well, it was amazing because we drew with Newcastle second last game of the season at home, and that meant we were safe, having drawn with Tottenham the week before. So it went almost to the wire, and I've said this to you before, it was Chelsea away.
Yeah.
In the last day of the season. But it was not. There was nothing on the line then. It was done and dusted. It was amazing that week. Up to the Chelsea game, there was a lot more people available than there was the week before.
As opposed to if it was a crunch tie.
And managers see that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they remember it and go, do you know what? When we were in the hour of need, him, they didn't bother. But, you know, it's just mentality, isn't it?
Stevie back with us tomorrow, where he'll reveal his Liverpool Manchester City prediction.
I'm going for a draw.
You're off tomorrow. You're going to go and play with.
Should we have a bet? What he's going to do?
What he's going to do? Yeah. I think he might say City win.
I'm going to say he's going to see a draw.
Oh, exciting.
He's going to go for Luis Garcia.
There you go.
Fence it.
And then what are you going to do tomorrow? Hang out with some friends?
Yeah, actually I am. Three of them.
Oh, yeah? Oh, lovely. Well,
they've all got four legs.
Yes, exactly. Barney. Brody.
They can't talk back.
That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. As I mentioned, be sure to join us tomorrow as we'll be looking ahead a little more detail to Liverpool against Manchester City, plus reflecting on Manchester United, and actually Arsenal playing as well tomorrow, aren't they?
Brentford.
They go top of the table.
Ooh.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.